The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310, and we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Friday, the 21st day of December, 2012. You're listening to the Coach's Corner with world-renowned trading coach, Ms. Robin Dane. Good afternoon, Robin. Good afternoon, Robin. Oh, I should probably open Robin's mic. That would help. I knew I forgot to flip a switch somewhere. There we go. That better?
There you go.
Yeah.
I always get so frustrated when you do that. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine. Just fine.
Great. It's a great day in Las Vegas, and it's here we are on the day of the major disaster, and there's nothing.
Yes.
Which is great
today,
news.
The great day of the apocalypse, December the 21st, 2012. We've heard about it in the documentaries on the Discovery Channel for many years now, a decade or more. And the day has come and gone pretty uneventful so far. The day's not over, but so far it's been pretty quiet.
We have a special topic for today in the Coach's Corner. For those of you who have never listened to me before, my name is Robin Dane. I'm known as the Trader's Coach. I've been in the business for about 20 years, and I've been coaching on the psychology of traders. I started down on Wall Street in a really very heavy day trading firm, and then slowly progressed and traded myself, and then moved up, and now I trade hedge funds and traders at hedge funds and big trading rooms and people who are just starting. So from the beginning to as you start to grow, I understand the psychology of what you're going through. So I did put things on my website. If you're not familiar with my website, robindane.com, RobinDane.com. And there's a whole bunch of free stuff on there for traders that are new, that are experienced, because the psychology really does stay the same. Today's topic, we're going to be talking about spaceship thinking and trading in an offensive mindset. But if you have a moment and you want to learn some things on the psychology and you want to go onto the website, there's a couple things I can recommend, which is first take the emotional trading test, and that's for people who have been trading for a while or people who are having trouble with their trading, to take the emotional trading test. That's in the top right-hand corner. There's a big red button. And then in the middle of the screen on the bottom also, there is a section called Free Stuff. And there's three trading essentials. There's a presentation there. Oh, there we go. There's the emotional trading test. Test your trading emotions. And then down the middle, under coaching, under upcoming events and free stuff. Okay, right there. Oh, too far. There you go. Three emotional trading triggers to avoid. That's a free presentation. That's really good. There's another one on the left called How to Survive a Trading Blow-Up. That's really good. And there's another one, The Qualities of a Winning Trader Mindset. Those are all free, and they're really good presentations. It's something you should check out. In addition, a long time ago, I used to have a radio show myself, and it was called Elite Masters of Trading, and I used to interview some of the top traders around the country. And even though those radio shows seem to be dated, the psychology is still the same. So you can still get a lot of information from those if you want to check those out as well. So there's a lot of really good free stuff that's on there that you should become familiar with, because it will help you. There are always tools and techniques that I put into those presentations that you can use every single day to help you trade. Now, if you're really, really stuck, you've gone through all the presentations and you really have a challenge, then you should call me, because the trading mindset is the most important thing that you have to learn to manage. And unfortunately, it's not the main thing that people gravitate to in the beginning. They tend to go to a particular strategy or technique, and then they go in there and they learn that, and then they wonder why they're not trading like the people in the room are trading, or that have been at a workshop have been trading. They just don't understand what they're doing incorrectly. And the reality is their mind is probably getting in their way, and their mindset is not calibrated for trading. It's calibrated for something different. When you go to trade, you actually bring all of your emotional baggage from the past and your beliefs and your behaviors to the trading desk. What you believe about winning and losing, what you believe about being right and being wrong, success and failure. All those things together then culminate when you go to take the trade, and especially if you have any fears. And everybody has what I call a dollar threshold, and they get emotionally upset when they hit their dollar threshold. Now, people who are just starting out and they put, let's say, $25,000 into an account, their emotional threshold, because they're new, might be very low depending on the business they had before, and maybe they get upset losing $500. And that would really throw them and get them upset for the day and maybe carry it even into the next day. Whereas if I'm coaching one of my hedge fund traders, then if they lose $500, it's nothing. But if they lose $100,000, that's something for them. So everybody's dollar threshold is different as you move up the ladder in your trading career. And so the more experience you get, the more money you make, the more expansive your dollar threshold becomes. And so the more you now go into what I call money management. So you want to manage your risk reward. So today the topic is spaceship thinking. Well, what the heck is spaceship thinking? Well, I have all these unique little names for things so that people know it's my work. And I like to make it fun. So spaceship thinking is this. When you go to a video arcade and you put your quarters into the machine. I don't know if they're quarters anymore. There's probably dollars.
Yeah, probably.
But you go into the video arcade. You have a certain amount of spaceships. And your goal, what do you think your goal is for those spaceships? What might your goal be for those spaceships? Dwayne, what do you think the goal is for the spaceships? When you go to play a video game and you've got four spaceships, what's the primary goal?
I don't know, to shoot the other spaceship?
To preserve your spaceships, right? To preserve them, to shoot the other person down to get points. So you want to get points.
All right.
And you want to get, you want to accumulate more spaceships so you can stay in the game as long as you can. But isn't that really the thing that we look for trading? Don't we want to stay in the game as long as we can, especially staying in the game so that we can learn the game, play the game, and win the game? Don't we want to stay in the game that long? So that's the goal. So when you go into what I call spaceship thinking, and you've got your four spaceships, and you've never played this game before, and you get out in the middle of the screen there, all of a sudden, this monster comes across the screen, and the monster shoots you and takes away one of your spaceships, and now you have you're down one spaceship, and you're going, uh-oh, well, that didn't work. But you noticed on the screen that there was a rock, and you noticed that you could hide behind the rock. So when you got onto the game, you looked, and the monster came out again, and you hid behind the rock. Now, all of a sudden, your mindset has just switched from being defensive and you're now becoming offensive, because when you first got in the game, you had no idea what was going to happen. So when you first get into trading, you really don't have any idea what's going to happen. You are defensively trading most of the time. You're defensively trading. And so you are reacting to the market versus being proactive to the market conditions and having your plan ahead of time. So the goal is to switch from being a defensive trader to switching to being an offensive trader. So if you go to look at the game again, and now you've got three spaceships, and now you've got your rock, and the monster comes out, and you're behind the rock, you now plan your strategy to jump out from behind the rock, maybe when he's walking in the opposite direction, you're watching what his movements, he's going in the opposite direction, so you're going to jump out, and you're going to shoot him, and now he goes away. Ah, now you're playing offensively, and you just won that particular set of points. So you got more points there. So you technically won the trade. So by coming into the game and having a plan going into the game, what happens is it allows you to be offensive and setting your parameters for your stop loss, for your profit target, and having a particular price point, which is your game plan, to go into the game. Now, that's based all on the criteria you have for your strategy and your setups. And we talked about that last time. We talked about, you know, having a setup for your strategy, a checklist that must be in place for you to take the trade. So now we're going to the next stage, which is taking that setup and going into your trading and then attacking the market, because you know what's going to happen and you want to stay in offensive mode as much as you can. Now, then you're going to say, well, how can I do that? You know, what if the trade doesn't go in my favor? Ah, well, that's when you do have to switch into defensive mode. Now, when you go into defensive mode, the goal is to minimize the loss. So if a trade does go against you and it's going in the opposite direction, then you do want to make sure that your stop losses are in place and you don't have them really large in the beginning and you're minimizing the loss. You know, if it's just not working right, that's okay. Everybody seems to be fearful of letting their stop get hit. You know, if a stop gets hit, it's no big deal. It's not a big deal. It's part of the game and you can re-enter the trade at a better price. So let's say you're going long on a trade and you have a stop loss. And again, each strategy is a little bit different. I'm not telling you what your length of your stop loss should be. I want you to determine that for yourself because it depends on your style. It depends on the market that you're trading. It depends on how many contracts you're trading and how you're trading those contracts. It depends on the size of your trading account. All those things in place will determine, you know, part of your strategy for your stop loss, and it's really up to you. But I'm just throwing out some suggestions and some things that you might want to look at if you're looking to maneuver your stop loss. So in spaceship thinking, the goal is to, number one, be proactive and be offensive. Secondly, is to have a plan going in. When you have a plan going in, now you're going to be offensively trading. And then next, as you start to look at what's going on, you want to find details. Remember, we were hiding behind the rock. Well, you know, on the next screen, when everything popped up and the monster came out, now you had a rock and you had a building to hide behind. And you found that when you went into the building, that the building was a protection place, that the monster couldn't even see you. And so you could actually get the monster from being inside the building. Well, how did you figure that out? Well, you tried it. You tried something, and you tried it the first time. Maybe it didn't work. The second time, it worked. And you said, oh, my goodness, I can go into that building, and I can actually get the monster, and he doesn't even know I'm there. You're, like, invisible. Well, same thing with your trading. When you go into a trade and let's say your stop gets hit, what you want to do is start getting proactively looking at, let's say you get hit. You know, I get calls of people who will say, my stops always get hit. Well, there's two things you can change on that. Number one, you can change your strategy and you can make your stop loss bigger. Or you can figure out how to enter the trade at a better price, because obviously those are the two things that are making the difference, the length of the stop loss and your ability to enter at the right price. So you have to work on those two things in your trading technique, you know, how to enter a trade quickly, how to get filled quickly, and then how to then not have your stop get hit and have your stop have some room. So now how do you do that? Well, the key thing is if you're having your stop get hit several times, don't go on to the next trade. Start looking at what's going on. This is the part of what I always call digging. You're going to look at your trade, and let's say your stop got hit, but you're going to continue to watch the market. When you continue to watch the market, you want to see how much more does the trade go before it does go in your direction, or doesn't it go in your direction at all? So a couple of things can happen here. If it doesn't go in your direction at all, probably there's something up with your strategy or something weird happened, or you need to check out your criteria. Something's going on there. Let's say your stop gets hit each time, but it only goes two more ticks in that direction before it turns and reverses in the direction that you want. Well, then you could maybe extend your stop three ticks, and then that would allow you to get more winning trades and feel more confident that it's okay. Or you could adjust the entry of that trade and get a better entry of the trade. So the key thing here is to look at your trades and not leave the trade if you've lost. Not leave the trade if you've lost. Make sure you stick with the trade and watch the market as to what's going on if your stops keep getting hit. Okay? If your stops keep getting hit. Because there needs to be an adjustment there. Now, why am I saying this? And how is this? This is all part of what I call spaceship thinking. We're adjusting the strategy of our trading so that we can have more wins in the trade and more wins in the market and make more money. And with that, you know, how far is that trade going? So you're really digging on the trade. So many traders will go into a trade, they'll take the trade, they'll look at the strategy, and they'll lose at the trade. Maybe their stop will get hit, and they don't continue to watch the market. And so the challenge is they don't know what they should do next or how they should change it because they have no data. The goal is to keep watching the trade and become really inquisitive and like a detective. What's going on there? What's really happening? How far is that really pulling back each time? Does that strategy work? Do I need to do a different entry? So all those things make a difference. Oh, excuse me.
Bless you. It wasn't a sneeze, but bless you anyway.
So does anybody have any questions on what I call spaceship thinking? So key thing is you want to trade, high-end traders trade offensively as much as they can, not defensively. They only trade defensively if the market throws them a curve. And then they try to preserve their cash and minimize the loss. They use risk management at that point. They don't go into the market defensively and constantly are on the lookout for, you know, being defensive. You want to be offensively trading as much as you can. Does that make sense? What do you think about that, Dwayne?
I think that makes a lot of sense. And I do hear that statement a lot. My stop always gets hit. Mm-hmm. And whenever I hear that statement, I always ask that person, I say, is that true? And they go, oh, yeah, my stop always gets hit.
Yeah.
And I go, okay, now I want you to really think about what you're saying.
Yeah,
is that a true statement? Look, I told you, every time I put on a stinking trade, my stop gets hit. I go, okay, if what you've said is true, you have just found a very powerful trading strategy. Without realizing it, you have a very unique ability to pick the exact spot where the market is going. Why not use that skill to your advantage? And they go, okay, well, maybe not every trade. Oh, okay. All right, let's peel back the layers of the onion here and get to the real root of the problem. You're laying it off to my stop always gets hit because you don't want your stop to get hit, because when your stop gets hit, you feel like a loser because you made a wrong decision. And it's not about being right or wrong in this business of trading. It's about using high probability entries to end the day, week, quarter, whatever your measuring stick is, net positive. That's the goal. And as long as you allow yourself to be tied to the concept of right or wrong, you'll continue to use statements like "my stop always gets hit" to protect yourself from the reality, which is a little bit painful. And the reality is that you need to find a method that there's no 100% method out there. There's no predicting the future. There's no crystal ball. There's none of that. You need to find a strategy that gives you a 60 to 70% win ratio. If you can find that, you have found the Holy Grail. But the second part of that, what makes it truly golden, is your ability to use that method, that strategy, that technique, whatever it might be, over and over. Now, on the trades where it works, it's easy to step up to bat and place that same trade. But remember, we said 60 to 70% of the time, you'll be on the right side of the market. That's the best you can hope for in the real world. Okay, what you have to concern yourself with is your thinking the 30 to 40% of the time that you're not right. And that's where what Robin is talking about today comes into play. How do you stay in the game? How do you minimize your losses? How many times have any of us set through a trade that was initially painful because we didn't have a stop and it went against us a couple points or whatever the case might be? But we were confident it was coming back, and you know it did. It came almost back to break even, and in fact, it came to break even, and we could have gotten out at break even, but we just knew it was going to go in our favor, and then it started to drop and drop, and pretty soon we're saying, well, it certainly can't go any lower than this. And then it did. And finally, in desperation, before your account is decimated, you cut the cord, you get out of that trade, and what happens? It takes off like a spaceship. That thing reverses and goes just the way you knew it was always going to go. Okay? That game gets played over and over. That dog chases his tail every day in a million different offices around the world when it comes to trading. And you have to get your thinking in order, exactly what Robin is talking about today, to break that vicious cycle. Okay?
I like to talk about two special words too. You know how I'm very big on words.
Mm-hmm.
Two words that are very powerful that you have to be careful of are the words always and never.
Mm-hmm.
And always usually can be busted by what Dwayne said, which was really thinking, is that really true always? Your stop gets hit? It's probably not always. It's, in fact, I'll put money on it.
If it's always, I'll buy it from you.
That's right. Exactly. So, the key thing is always and never are very powerful words, and you should only use them when truly appropriate, because they can exasperate a feeling and they can exasperate a situation that you're trying to manage, and you've put it in your head that it always happens, so maybe it's, I can never fix it. And so it's a very bad mindset to get into an always or never kind of situation. So always and never are very, very powerful, and they typically, when used, are not true. They're not true. They're just not true. So you say, oh, you always do that. Well, no, I don't always do that. I on occasion do it. And so you don't always have your stop get hit. On occasion it gets hit. So the key goal here is to minimize what's going on as far as how much you're losing. Have a good entry on your trade. Maybe you could have had a better entry. And looking at the trade after it closes, even if your stop gets hit, looking at the data after it closes, right in the moment, may give you an opportunity to find something that you can fix, change, or do different on the next trade versus jumping into the next trade. too many traders go from one trade to another, and they rush in because they think there's never going to be another trade. They're never going to get find something else. And the reality is there's going to be many, many trades down the road, and you want them to be winners. Focus on winning. How can I win at that trade? What can I do different at that trade? What didn't I see that would make that trade better? How could I enter that trade at a better price point? What could I have done? Just what could I have done differently? And what's really happening in the market? So asking all those questions and having spaceship thinking, the last piece of this is, you know, I believe, you know, what changed my trading at one point was I started to gain the belief that this is the game. The market is there to take your money. That little monster out there, he's there to take your money. But you're there to take his money first. And to do that, Mr. Market's pretty slick. He turns around and he puts you in the emotion to take your money. He knows when he's got you in the emotion, he's going, ha, 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 I'm going to take your money. And he takes your money. And you have to be very predictable, precise, have a game plan, go in and take Mr. Market's money first by being offensively trading, not defensively trading. So you want to measure, you know, was that trade offensive or defensive? You know, was I in control or not in control? And keep looking at the trade, even though it may have closed, for anything on the screen, any kind of piece, little tiny piece of detail that might help you to do that trade differently next time. Look at how many times your stop gets hit and continue to watch the trade and see how much it does really pull back before it goes in your direction. And if it's a very predictable thing, then you've got a good strategy going, then it may warrant you either expanding your stop or entering at a better price. Remember, you can always get back in. You can always get back into a trade. So don't have the need to prove that you're right. It's better to not let Mr. Market get much of your money. Allow him to work for it, and you take his money first. And with that, we'll take any kind of questions. If you have any questions, Dwayne, if you have any questions, or anybody else, if you have any questions.
If you do have any questions, by all means, just type them in the box. Robin will be happy to answer them. One thing to keep in mind is that as you ask yourself, what could I have done different? Eventually, you're going to arrive at a place, hopefully, where the answer becomes nothing. Mm-hmm. In other words, you've fine-tuned your craft. You've honed it down to the point where you have a specific set of rules or methodology, however it is that you are operating your trading business. And when you get stopped out on a trade, you ask yourself, what could I have done different? Your goal is to get to the point where the answer is nothing. I did exactly what I was supposed to do, exactly when I was supposed to do it, and the market simply went the other direction. Every moment in the market is unique. You cannot predict the future. No one can. There are traders around the globe. They're all putting on and taking off trades. And every one of those people, no matter how small or large a trader they are, there's a butterfly effect, and ultimately they affect the outcome of your trade. So when you get stopped out of a trade, it's not about you being wrong. It's about the market simply went the other way. And you, again, that 60 to 70%, if you get into that zone right there, that is a golden zone. And that can be very profitable for you. It's when people try to press beyond that into what is unrealistic that you can run into problems. And, you know, preserve yourself, get your points, stay in the game, you know, be proactive as opposed to reacting. And watch, I agree with Robin, watch those words, always and never. Those are very powerful words, and we throw them around sometimes not fully staying in touch with how powerful they are and the effect they can have on us, because once you know, you can lose a lot of money in the market, and then you can go out and do whatever kind of work, and you can earn money, and you can come back to the market again. So financial losses can sometimes be overcome, but the psychological damage is where the issue can be really incredible. And I don't have any questions right now, Robin. Can you give a few, if there's anyone with any questions, type those in. And Robin, if you can make some parting comments here real quick.
Yep. I just want to conclude one thing that you said also, which was brought something to mind also. I have, you know, when I coach these or talk to or interview these high-end traders, I would always ask them, if you could give one or two things to somebody just starting out in trading, what would you tell them? And so one of the comments came to mind when you were saying about your strategy, and if everything is okay, it's okay. And one thing, a comment that a trader gave me, one, he says, you want to get to boredom as quickly as possible. And I said, oh, that's it. You want to get to boredom. You want to see the setup, get into the setup, take the trade. The same setup works, or it doesn't work, and you minimize the loss. You know exactly what to do. You go in there, and you get to boredom. And it is when successful traders are at their peak, they're totally bored because the strategy they have is so set in stone, is so solid, and is so totally, totally there. They just do it, and that's it. And if it falls outside those parameters, they do not do the trade. So boredom is a beautiful thing. That's where you want to get to, getting to boredom as quickly as you can. And with that, I'm going to say a very Merry Christmas, because I won't be seeing you until
we'll be
after
back.
I get back from the holiday. So I won't be back until, and I have jury duty, so I don't know what that's going to bring me. I have jury duty on the 2nd, so I'm going to have to keep you posted when I'll be back. I will not be back in until after the 2nd of January. I want to wish everybody an absolutely amazing holiday, Christmas. Do something great for somebody that least expects it. Really do something wonderful for them on the holiday. Give to somebody that's in need. Give to some children. Give a toy to some children. Anything. Just do, be in the Christmas spirit. And then next year we're going to have an absolutely amazing 2013. It's going to be lucky 13.
There we go.
So I'm really looking forward to it. And I'm really looking forward to working with you, Duane. And thank you so much for having me on this year. I really appreciate it.
It's been our pleasure to have you with us. And Frank just typed in, please tell Robin how much we appreciate her and wish her the very, very best for this holiday season. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and absolutely all of the very best for 2013. And to that,
thank you so much, everybody. Thank you so much.
And FC said, can Robin please tell us her hot chocolate recipe again?
The hot chocolate recipe. Absolutely. This is the best hot chocolate recipe ever. You have to get a Hershey's cocoa. Not the pre-mixed stuff. It comes in a brownish label can, brown and silver, I think. Hershey's cocoa. And the recipe is actually on the label. It's 2 tablespoons of hot chocolate in milk. You heat the milk up first, 2 tablespoons of sugar, because there's no sugar in this cocoa, 2 tablespoons of sugar, or you can lighten up on the sugar a little bit even, and 1/4 teaspoon of vanilla. It is the best hot chocolate you will ever, ever make. You will never buy pre-mixed again because it is so wonderful. And if you're a chocoholic like me, you'll realize that that's my New Year's resolution is to cut back on the chocolate. So everybody have a great, great day. And Duane, all the Santa Claus is on his way, and I'm thrilled. And I'm reachable on my cell phone, but I will be out of town.
Okay.
So have a wonderful, wonderful holiday for you and the family, Duane. And again, thank you so much.
Merry Christmas.
Hey, Robin, you have a good holiday too.
Oh, hey, Michael too. Mike. They didn't know you were.
Yeah,
you were,
I just.
You were
just
hiding in there. Okay. Well, Santa Claus is on his way to you too.
Okay. All right. You have a great holiday. You
okay.
Too,
happy holiday.
Take care, Robin.
All right.
Bye bye.
Bye.
We'll be right back.
remember this. There is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions.